Welcome. You are listening to the Better Together podcast with Callie and Rosario Picardo. We take on topics involving marriage, ministry, parenting, communication, relationships, and other subjects that our listeners want to hear more about.
Welcome to another edition of the Better Together podcast. I'm your co-host, Rosario Picardo.
And I'm Callie Picardo. And today we have with us Ken Willard, who is the Director of Discipleship, Leadership, and Congregational Vitality for the West Virginia Annual Conference of the United Methodist Church. He is a professionally certified coach with the International Coach Federation. And he's been working with a variety of leaders. He's written several different books. And we want to have him on the podcast today to talk about one that he actually wrote a couple years ago, but it is timeless. And I love the title of it. It's Time Management for the Christian Leader, or How to Squeeze Blood from a Turnip. Ken, thank you for joining us. Welcome to the Better Together podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
Ken, you've written this book, and in it, you talk about ways to effectively manage your time. But what are some of the high level things you've noticed from individuals who manage their time well versus those that don't? Are there like some consistent things that you notice?
That's a great question. Yeah, there's several things, both in my experience in the business world for years doing time management, and then in the church world kind of exclusively the last 15 years, a lot of the same stuff shows up over and over again. Some of it is getting trapped in the urgent. And lots of times leaders and pastors, non-pastors, everyone leading in some area or some phase gets caught up in what seems to be the most urgent stuff, and what tends to get pushed to the side or the back are really the important things. And they feel like they're spinning their wheels and can't really get any traction, and yet still feel like I'm doing so many things. I've got so many plates spinning, but nothing seems to be making a difference. And that's the disconnect when we're doing so many things, but they aren't really what we consider priorities.
Often I've seen people wear that badge of honor of busyness.
Oh, yes.
How are you doing? Oh, just really, yes. Busy. I'm really busy. Therefore, I must be doing very important things. But gosh, that's hard to break out of the urgent into the important, because 10 different people needed something yesterday.
Right, right.
Make that shift.
Yeah, yeah. So Franklin Covey is famous for several different things in this area. One of them is, his time management matrix that breaks it into different quadrants that actually was started before him. President Eisenhower used something very similar to that. But it really speaks to, there's a quadrant of things that are urgent and they're important. The closet is on fire. We have to take care of that. In the church world, it could be a call from somebody in the congregation. It could be something, unexpected, but it really is urgent and it really is important. And there's not a whole lot leaders can do with those, except deal with them. The two quadrants that are really give us the most flexibility are the quadrants where it's urgent, but it's not really important. And that's where most people tend to fill their calendar day. These are things, and some of them had deadlines, some of them have you know, other, there are other people's priorities sometimes. But the quadrant where there's things that are important, but they're not urgent. That's where we learn. That's where we plan. That's where we do long-term strategies, things like that. And that ends up often being the quadrant that we're pulling time out of and using it in the quadrant where things are not that important, but they're urgent. And if, as leaders, if we can just move intentionally a little bit of our time from that not important to the important quadrant, that's what makes the biggest difference in the long run. So I think that was a long answer.
That's great. You're the guest, so you're allowed to give long answers.
Yeah.
Would you say that that is the area where you invest in yourself?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the area where, you know, what can I do to become a better leader? What do I need to learn this season? What is God teaching me that I need to pay attention to? You know, there's, you know, we live in a time where change is just constant. And if we're not learning and growing, then we begin to fall back. Mm-hmm. And so it's preparation time. You know, it's learning a new skill. It is investing in ourselves. And it's also, I would say, beyond just what we might normally categorize as learning. But it's also like you're talking about, how do I make sure that I'm mentally, physically, spiritually ready to really do the work God's calling me to do? And that may be things like Sabbath keeping. That may be things like, you know, I need to just do some mental health, you know, work. I need to be sure that I'm straight. Maybe it's spending some more time with God. I would put all of that, you know, in that quadrant. It's not urgent, but it's important.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, we think about technology, and there are so many new interfaces and hacks for you to get more done. So it's not necessarily to do what's important for you, but it's just right. to fill your plate more, to streamline it so your productivity goes up. But I don't think that's necessarily how we're designed.
Right. I would agree with you. It is amazing. For years now, since Apple came out with, you know, the App Store, where you can go in consistently year after year, productivity apps are some of the most popular. There are more of them than almost any other type of app. They're the ones that are purchased or downloaded the most almost every year. They make the list all the time. And it shows me, you know, that's what people are trying to do. They're trying to find technology that can help them. And technology only goes so far. It's a great tool. It's a great resource. But it really does come down to, I believe, you know, what is God, how has God wired us? You know, how do I understand best what God's trying to do through me? How do I connect to what's really important to God in this season of my ministry? So those productivity apps are great, but I think it does show us that people are frustrated. They're not, you know, they're trying to grab on to something and in the hopes that there's something magic there that will suddenly give them more time in the day, or, you know, so, and, you know, again, I go back to Covey, you know, it's not about prioritizing what's on our daily list. It's about putting our priorities on that list. That's the key piece. And I think, again, that speaks to God's calling on our lives.
Mm-hmm. And what you shared about the apps makes me think people know they need a change, but are trying to figure out how. How have you seen people effectively make that shift? Like, what are some of the practical handholds that help people shift from that non-important urgent to the important but not urgent section of the what they know they should be doing, but they just can't seem to get there.
Right. So yeah, you know, I think it's a little different for almost everybody. I do think there are some things, you know, some things that I've seen, I guess, that that leaders seem to really find helpful. Part of it is getting back to, you know, why is this important to you? Why does it matter? You know, whether we're talking about time management or strategic planning or whatever, however you want to, you know, look at it for you and your life, you know, why is this something that you're interested in pursuing now? And for me, that kind of goes back to, you know, what is my mission? I know what God's mission is. I know what God's calling us to do as Christians, but what is my part in that? What does that look like? And I think as leaders, the better we can articulate that, at least to ourselves, and say, okay, this is what I do, then a lot of other things will flow from that. If I understand what God's really calling me to do, then I can begin to discern, so where's God's vision for me? Where does that lead us? Those are big things. But the more we can connect our daily activities to those big things, I think the better we begin to feel. I am making a difference. I am, you know, taking steps. I'm not there yet, but what I'm doing is connected to that mission and vision God has on my life. Those are things that I think really help us feel that reward, that sense of accomplishment.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. So I work in fundraising for my full-time job. And I was listening to something the other day specific to fundraising. And they said, no matter what kind of day you're, if you're having a hard day, just call a donor. Doesn't matter if it's a donor you necessarily need to talk to or don't, you know, just take the time to call a donor. And it just hit me because it's similar to what you're saying is, you know, if I'm about developing relationships for God's kingdom in my work, that is crucial to my ministry, but the urgent can keep me in my, oh, I need to respond to these emails. It keeps me more reactive rather than proactive. And I love that simplicity of just call one donor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Moves me back into that mindset of, oh, I'm building relationships. And then sometimes after that, I'm like, I'm going to call this other donor too. You know? It's setting the bar low. But like just working on one thing that is so core to what I do helped me, and I can, it might help some of our listeners as well. Is there one thing that you just know, just that one thing, like if you just do that one thing today, it'll at least be accomplishing something more in that important category. And it might be at work. It might be with your family. It might be just, you know, if you spend 5 minutes on the floor with one of your kids or grandkids, or if you stop and, you know, just give your spouse a hug and just say, how are you doing? You know, those things that build into the important, that can really help there.
Amen. Amen. I agree. I think it, you know, this conversation about time management, for me is very connected to discipleship. So, you know, and really discipleship is all about what's that next step? And it doesn't have to be, you know, 0 to 100. It should be 0 to 1, you know, 1 to 2, 2 to 3, you know, those kind of things. And I think the same thing is true when we think about leadership development, when we think about, you know, time management as a specific area of that leadership development. What is the one thing that I can do that's going to help me feel I'm moving in the right direction? And it, you know, when we get that, you know, social media has that that kick that we get when we post something and somebody likes it. You know, there's that you know, studies show that in our brain we get that little jolt. I think the same can be true for discipleship, for leadership development. Like you're talking about, what is that one little thing that I can help that helps me feel rewarded and that I'm taking that step in the right direction.
Can you talk about discipleship? And that makes me think, you know, Jesus walked with his 12 disciples. Are there some lessons from how Jesus handled his time that we should be looking to?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for saying that. So, yeah, I think, you know, Jesus was many things and is many things. One of them is the best example of leadership we've ever seen. And, you know, we in the church world, we often focus a lot on what Jesus said. And I think that's certainly appropriate. I don't think we focus enough on what he did and his behaviors and his habits. You know, what did Jesus do during his ministry that's recorded for us? And if it's recorded, it's important. There's something there we need to learn beyond just what was spoken. You know, an example is, you know, he feeds 5,000, you know, and that's a great story and everybody loves that story. So what does he do next? He goes away and he spends time in prayer. And I think sometimes, you know, we skip over some of that and we lose sight of he's giving us a model. Mm-hmm. You know, engage in your ministry 100%. Give all God has in you to that ministry, but then escape. Spend some time. So it's not resting from work. Mm-hmm. You know, it's switching that up and it's resting to work. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not being exhausted. It's about how do I recharge? And again, I think Jesus shows us that over and over again. So I think there's lots of things there that we can learn from the model that Jesus gave us. And one of them, I believe, is, you know, honoring the Sabbath. Another one, I believe, is the power of, you know, going away, spending time in prayer, recharging ourselves so that we can better jump in, you know, with both feet into the ministry God's calling us.
I forget which leader in church history it was that said, I have such a busy day today that I can't afford just to spend an hour a day in prayer. I need to spend 2 hours a day in prayer.
Yeah. I have so much to do today. I need to spend most of it in prayer. Or yeah, I'm probably misquoting it, but yes, absolutely. I think it's, you know, that's very true. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I know I've seen personally when I take that time to be with God, even though there's urgent things pressing, that then all of a sudden the urgent things, it just flows. It's instead mm-hmm. of it's coming out of the overflow rather than me having to work and strive to get it done. When I'm connecting with God, when I'm rested and in a space where I have margin to be able to pray and discern and think, then the stuff that I was worried about that I didn't think that I felt like I had to rush to get to, all of a sudden when I get to them, it just goes quickly because I was in the right space spiritually, mentally, emotionally to be able to approach it
right
with my whole self.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, that's a feeling that in today's culture is not always present. And I think how do we as leaders in the church world, whether clergy, laity, whatever our role might be, you know, how do we get back in touch with some of that? You know, I think that, I mentioned that, you know, Jesus is, you know, this great model for leadership. One of the things for us to remember, you know, I know the two of you are parents, and you're probably pretty aware that your children are watching, and they're listening, and they're, you know, they're observing, and they may be copying what you do. They may be copying what you say. The same is true for us as leaders.
Hmm.
We're setting a model for others that we lead and for the culture around us. And if we're always exhausted, if we're always, you know, spinning our wheels, if we're always, you know, if that's what we're showing to the world – I'm not sure that's what Jesus wants us to be showing. I think we have to get back to how do we follow the model that Jesus gave us, and how do we honor that as leaders to inspire, to show that example to others, again in the church world and just in culture in general.
Ken, this has been an amazing discussion. Where could we learn more about you and your writing for our listeners?
Yeah. So my books are available on Amazon. So if your listeners are interested in picking any of those up there, that would be great. I also have a website. It's the letter L, the number 4, and the letter T, L4T.org, where you can also find out more about some of my ministry and purchase books if you're interested. I have those resources available.
That's awesome. And friends, if you're curious about this specific book we've been talking about, again, the title that I love is Time Management for the Christian Leader, or How to Squeeze Blood from a Turnip. I love that image of trying to squeeze blood from a turnip when you're like, this is not working.
Yeah, the secret is you can't.
Well, thanks, Ken, for being with us
today.
Thank you. For our listeners, share this with a friend, a family member, a coworker that wants to grow deeper in how to manage their time wisely, but also just how to live a life of worship. That's what we have been talking about today. And so we're thankful for this time together. And remember, until next time, we are better together. God bless.